Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. The Lions, another 19-17 heartbreaker. Man, oh man, Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions team cannot catch a break. Or rather, just us as Detroit Lions fans, we never can catch a break. We're going to get into all that. A lot of good things still. The defense doing a lot of good work. Some good things on offense, but a lot of work, more work to be done there, actually, shockingly. But we'll get into all that. But thank you, everybody, for listening. Sit back, relax, grab your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod. This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. We're lifelong Lions fans. Bob!
All right, let's go, Lions fans. The Jared Goff era has begun.
Connor!
Hey, let's bite some kneecaps. Detroit versus everybody, baby.
UJ!
A new era in Detroit has begun, people. So get on the train or get left behind.
Rud Dog.
This is going to be an unprecedented era of Detroit Lions respect.
And I'm Big Z. It's a new era of Detroit Lions football. It's going to be one hell of a season. We'll be drinking the blue Kool-Aid with Dan Campbell all year long. Predictions, thoughts, reactions, everything. We got it here. Sit back, relax, and grab your Kool-Aid, fans. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back recording on October 11th, a day after the Lions suffer yet another heartbreaking loss on another 50-plus yard field goal. For the first time in NFL history, the team has lost on two 50-plus yard field goals at the end of a game in one season. So the Lions continue to lose in fantastical ways. But before we get into all that, let's introduce the rest of the Blue Kool-Aid crew. So I'm Big Z. Get to the rest. So we got UJ.
Hi, guys. No emotions.
Then Bob.
Hello there.
Rud Dog.
Yo.
And Connor.
Howdy.
So, gentlemen, again, the Lions lose on a long field goal to the exact same score as the Ravens game, 19-17.
That's a good movie.
That score is a curse. If we're up 17-16 with less than a minute left in the game, we're just doomed at that point.
You know, you just said it. There's the curse. Like, this season is, if you don't believe in them, this season is making a convincing argument for their existence.
I knew when they rushed three that game was over.
Rushing three.
When I saw that lineup, I'm like, it's over.
The exact same thing. Oh my god, they did it anyway.
Brutal.
They'll probably do it 10 more times this season.
We can get all into that. Okay. Dan Campbell after the game, very emotional, to the point of tears.
Yeah,
on the podium. I mean, what do we think of our our fearless leader? I guess getting emotional on the podium.
There. What do you think, Bob? What was the quote? He's like, we went in the game and then they kicked the field goal and then he just kind of walked away.
Oh, that's hard. That's harsh, man. That's hard.
It's quite impression. That's quite the impression.
Man,
that sounds
like a strong leader.
I personally, and for real though, I kind of liked it. I think, you know, that he really does care, and I think the players, hopefully, they'll see that they're all together, rowing in the same direction.
Absolutely. I mean, this team has a million injuries, and are already a roster that's heavily depleted from injuries. That's already kind of suffering from talent as it is. They come into this game as 10-point underdogs, and I mean, this team battled to the end, no matter what.
Yeah. Well,
what's going on?
Hey, Z, it's like
they follow Campbell.
It's like Kid Jay said, our producer, good teams beat the spread. So
that's right.
That's all that matters, as long as he beat the spread.
Yeah. Yeah. We're doing okay.
We're
then.
Doing pretty good at that so far.
We're not doing bad. Oh, boy.
I mean, we all love the decision to go for two right there.
Oh,
I
mean, great call.
Even if they don't get it, we still like the decision.
I do.
Yeah. That was so exciting because they just stripped the ball away. They got the fumble. They looked like they were doomed already.
Yeah.
And then they score a touchdown. Then he's like, dagger time, you know?
Oh, no, dagger time.
That was proper use of dagger time. It worked.
Yeah, let's not use
minus.
That's what dagger time is supposed to look like.
Oh, but I'm telling you.
Yeah, just a crazy turn of events there, though, in the last 3 minutes of that game. Pretty wild.
Insane.
I'm telling you, look, this modern game with 37 seconds and a timeout.
Two timeouts,
I'm sorry. But, oh, my God. It's just, I already knew we were in trouble. And then when, like Connor said, when they threw the three-man rush out there, I knew it was over. They were going to complete
it. I don't get it.
I knew it.
Are the analytics saying to do that? Like, I don't understand.
Don't get it.
It doesn't
either.
Make any sense.
I don't get it either.
Yeah, and the defense played a pretty good game up to that point.
Played a great game up to that point.
Our front seven really stepped it up.
Yeah, how about
this week?
Charles Harris, man. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say Jacobs replacing Bobby Price at cornerback in this game did an incredible job. Only allowed 2 catches against Thielen all game. Only 3 targets his way, which means he was doing his job. That's what that means usually.
Yeah.
So big shout out to him. Maybe we have a cornerback that hopefully will stay healthy.
Yeah.
And do a decent job out there, a second cornerback. But go on with Harris.
Yeah, no, I was just saying Charles Harris would pick up this year, and he's got his 4th sack. And
another one. Yeah.
Consecutive games. So he's, you know, maybe this is the right spot for him. You know, because he was highly touted coming out of college. He's never really done anything. Pick. Yeah, so maybe this is the place for him. So could be a good find.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's looking fantastic.
And the Lions get Trey Flowers back. He played a pretty good game. Also collected.
He had a studly play in that game. Yeah. Studly sack.
Yeah. Who do you think was our highest rated defender player? No, he was our 3rd actually though. Definitely is
Trey Flowers.
Not Derek Barnes.
Tracy Walker.
He
was the highest rated player.
He had a great hit on that one when he smashed that dude as he was curling over the middle.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he had a good game. Tracy looked really, really good.
Yeah, he looked good.
He's looked a lot better this year than he ever did under Patricia, except for the first year, Patricia. I think he looked pretty good, but the last couple, it was a little rough.
I'm seeing a little swag. I'm seeing a little swagger on this defense. I'm seeing confidence coming into these players. They're playing more energetically, a little more confident. Even Will Harris, I'm seeing him flying around and making hits and stuff on some plays, and I'm like, okay, maybe he's not gone yet.
This is his highest rated game of the year, Will Harris.
He looked good.
But he
didn't make any crazy.
Except for an 8th grade that one time when they won.
I will say
the light is switching his head.
Barnes did pull a whoop-de-doo on that one.
Yeah,
when he got just absolutely juked in the hole.
We just got to focus on the fact that he's a work in progress.
That's right. That's right.
I mean,
I still think he's going to be a good player.
It can happen.
Yeah, but I admit he does make some crazy, frustrating mistakes out there.
I thought he'd be more pro-ready, to be honest with you, when he came in, and, you know, with the training camp and everything. But actually, he's having a little more growing pains than I thought he would. But I'm still pretty confident he's going to do all right, though. So
I agree.
I'm not down on him.
We're talking about Barnes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And he was our lowest rated.
Yeah, it doesn't spoil the game.
That whole linebacker core is just
him and Anzalone, actually.
Even DeAndre Levy had the same thing when he was coming up. He ran around, made plays, but was inconsistent.
You know what? Anzalone is the best lowest rated player out there.
No.
I'm going to say that.
What did you just say about his rating there, Big Z?
I said Barnes and Anzalone are 2 words.
I want to like Anzalone.
Again, these ratings are per PFF, so whatever you think.
I thought he looked a little more effective out there. I thought his hustle actually looked like it was paying off a little bit more in this game. Like, he was getting there and making plays and stuff. It seemed like he was, anyway.
Passing the eyeball test.
Yeah.
He was around the ball all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I went back and watched the game, I saw him kind of miss some reads on some of these run plays. Like, he picked the wrong hole to go in. And I think that might have hurt us in the run game. Because, I mean, the Vikings were pretty effective in running the ball in this game. Madison, 25 carries for 113 yards.
Well, most of us because of one play that Barnes whipped on. So.
Yeah. Anzarike, I noticed, making impact in this game. Not necessarily making the play, but
I was gonna mention
always
that as well.
Disruptive.
I would agree. Definitely. Again, I think there was even one play he was like 2 yards in the backfield, but it has back turned to the play. But he still disrupted it heavily. But yeah, definitely his best game for sure that we've seen out of him so far in this young season.
Mm-hmm. McNeil showed some nice speed mm-hmm. when he made that one where he got off that block early and just freaking sprinted at.
I've liked some stuff from him this year. I think he's had some solid
you see
looks.
How fast he is at 340 pounds? Yeah. Cover that gap so quick.
Oh, yeah.
I think he should lose like 20 pounds. He could be like 320 pounds and probably move a little faster. Be moving like Aaron Donald. Yeah.
Well, these guys, skinny. Too, don't. This is why it's exciting, kind of the future. If you already see these rookies like Levi and Liam McNeil have games like this, is that they can get when they actually get like a full NFL offseason and not like go through the draft process right. and stuff, they can really shape their bodies for what they want to be for their long term future. So,
yeah,
I am excited to see these guys are making plays because that second year is really, really, really want to see the leap. Usually, a lot of these guys,
mm-hmm. Yeah, like so. Rudd Dog when Tavai dropped that way, man, he was just. Unbelievable. Oh, no. I think he lost a step when he lost weight.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it doesn't always equal. Yeah. You know, you got to be a good player first. You can't – the weight's not just going to magically make you good.
I love all these players are always like, I'm in the best shape of my life. Like, every year I feel like so many players say it, and then they're terrible that year.
Yeah.
Well, it's all part of the offseason optimism.
Yeah.
Those players. Everybody has, really. But yes, a lot of them do say, best shape of my life, or I started eating right.
That's what the Lions roster has been saying. They've been walking around saying, I'm in the best shape of my life. Never felt better.
Maybe the Kool-Aid crew after this season, we can get in the best shape of our life, and then we'll be all chiseled for the next season.
Ooh. I like it.
There you go.
It's good.
Yeah.
I like that idea a lot. Drinking a blue Kool-Aid calendar.
Yeah, there you go.
I've been working 40 years on my figure since I quit playing football. So,
oh boy. This Lions defense though definitely stepped up. A lot of people thought this Vikings team would run and pass all over them. Justin Jefferson did have a big game against us.
Yeah.
Against Warrior did not have a very good game going up against him. So there's some improvements there, and maybe that would be fixed if Okudah was around. But there's no guarantees.
Right.
But I mean, I don't think Warrior is a number one cornerback. Would we agree with that?
No. Not right now. He's definitely
not now.
Potentially.
I think it kind of helped that Dalvin Cook was out too. Not to be a hater, but.
I mean, so. Madison had a huge day, so I don't know how much you hurt him.
Yeah. Well, with Ragnow out, you know, it all evens out. So we have plenty of injuries in our team.
I thought they actually ran the ball decent at times without Ragnow still.
Yeah, I mean, we ran it for 108 yards, 4.5 yards a carry. And the running offense continues to look like pretty decent all year. It's definitely a lot better than it's been, like, consistency wise, than we've seen in the past, where the running game just completely disappeared.
Yeah,
right.
At least in the Stafford era. So that's been an encouraging sign too. And that's with two of our best offensive linemen out, and two backups in. But we can move this to the offensive side where it's a little rougher.
Yeah.
Conversation.
Yeah, yes. Jared Goff.
Jared Goff sacked 4 times, although 2 of those were just Penei Sewell getting
absolutely manhandled by Everson Griffin.
Right. Yeah. I wouldn't say manhandled because manhandled like means like he got like bull rushed. One was a rip move underneath right past him. Then the other one was like an easy spin move inside. Like that was the one that forced a fumble. But either way, Sewell. Looked like he never seen a pass rush like that before.
Sewell looked a little timid out there. Like he wasn't firing his hands on his punch.
No, he wasn't. Yeah,
I don't know what it was about Griffin, but he looked a little tentative about trying to engage him.
Griffin is a lion
probably
killer.
Probably his hand work or something.
About. He's great against that's the true. Lions historically. I mean,
he's always gullus, Bobby. Yeah. Right about
right. And Sewell was banged up too, wasn't he?
We had him and we let him go back.
There's now no longer debate about left tackle, right tackle with Sewell. Like he's a lot of work to do either way. So,
but he was hurt a little bit for that game, right? He was banged up.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to excuse him or anything, but
no, he was.
I'm just saying
he was coming in.
So I mean, I'm not surprised against a good player, he struggled a little bit.
And again, I agree with you, Connor. Though, Kevin, if we get Decker back and then move Sewell back to the right side, that's gonna.
And it sounds like Decker is gonna be practicing this week, and he'll be coming back this week.
Be nice.
Yeah.
We could
use some good news on the injury front.
Absolutely.
Heck yeah.
Hey, Connor.
Because now it looks like that Quintez Cephas is going to be out for the year potentially with a broken collarbone, getting surgery on it. So, Rudd Dog, sorry.
Rudd Dog, your prediction for offensive player of the year is not going to happen. So.
Yeah.
Oh, it's only
Hall of Fame jacket. So right. Got to dust that Maybe. Off.
You can have an injury. He was you can have a rough good. Year for injury pretty, and still make the Hall of Fame.
You got to admit.
He was playing good. He was our best receiver.
He was.
So who?
He was the tallest little person, or whatever they say.
Hey, no.
I'm just saying that our receiver room.
The
man, not
I know good. What you're trying to say, but it's, I don't acknowledge its validity here. Validity.
Yeah. So, you know who fills in the role there? Come on.
Kadarius Hodge made the touchdown.
St. Brown's going to go for 200 yards next week. So.
There was some reports that Tyrell Williams might be coming back this week as well. And so, but I mean, Tyrell Williams is also a guy with a history of injury issues. Yeah. So he might last like one game again. He's not a reliable person to be around for
a while.
Well,
it depends on Goff.
Because they need him.
Yeah.
They absolutely need him.
We need somebody, man.
Kadarius Hodge and what's the Tweaky Boots or whatever that one's
Khalid Raymond? Trinity
Benson. No, the other dude.
Trinity Benson.
Trinity Benson.
Yeah, Trinity Benson.
Yeah.
I don't,
those two have been the ones step. I mean, they're the ones they signed to do it. So
not a deep wide receiver room.
It just hurts me when I see Jamar Chase out there like, with the Bengals. And guys are game changers, you know.
They got a good receiving.
If we had one
Devonta Smith. Devonta Smith looked really good.
Waddle, I'm just saying, if we had one guy like one of them, which we don't, we will eventually.
I know. That was the terrible choice we had to make between Sewell and those kind of weapons.
Kenny Galladay keeps getting hurt, so seems like we dodged a bullet resigning him.
Yeah, I think so we probably
did. Yeah,
yeah, we got our guy that gets hurt now.
Hey, UJ, but to your point, I think we really need help because they're really keying on Hockenson now.
Yes.
Like Hockenson.
Yes.
Yep.
They can't find a way to get him to stretch the field like they were before.
Killing me in fantasy.
No, well, I mean, that, when you have a poor receiving core like we do, they're going to key in Hockenson. He's our best player. Take him out of the game, and they're going to make it really hard for our offense. It's really easy game plan.
You keep bad-mouthing our receiving core.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard. I mean,
Rudd Dog saying we need to drink the Kool-Aid on the receiving core.
Yeah, everyone's so mean to our receiving cores. I don't think it's at all warranted.
Well, look.
I think it is.
I mean,
it is warranted.
It's... They're not very good. I mean, that's just a fact.
Yeah.
And
it's not true.
I mean, Goff's numbers are not very good now. I mean, he looked pretty good coming out of the gate for us, but
each week he looks a little worse, in my opinion.
Yeah, but his offensive line is also falling.
That's
the
true.
I think that's probably our biggest problem on offense.
Right
now
they've been run blocking. And they've been.
What do we think about the comments from Campbell saying that they need to simplify some of the plays for Goff because
that.
That's concerning.
It sounds like
that's
he's not, concerning.
It sounds like he's not getting rid of the ball a little
that's
bit
concerning.
Quick enough because there's too many
concepts
going
well,
on at
it's
once.
Different. If you're saying, like, okay, Goff doesn't have personnel, that's one thing. If you're saying the play calling is too complex, that is really concerning to me.
Yeah,
and these are the same things that they're saying in LA, too. So.
Yeah, Z.
Bringing it up in the fifth game of the season.
I didn't see that quote, but because that was when in LA, that was one of the things that they were saying about him is that he couldn't make the reads.
Right. But. And we also see him perform his best when we're like in hurry up and there's less thinking involved.
Yep.
Yeah.
You usually see him play his best. And I think that's kind of what Campbell's referencing when we see him kind of in the where there's less adjustments at the line and stuff, just kind of snapping and go. We see Goff at his best. And I think that's what he's referring to as well. Like when there's adjustments at the line and there's a complex play call going along with it, that's where it gets a little. Maybe there's stuff we don't know. Maybe there was like adjustments that he should have made that he didn't in this game. And that's what led. I mean, Sewell just got beat on.
I
want to
see him protect the ball more. I mean, he should be walking around with a football in his hands all times. People, he's trying to punch.
You're right.
You know, just
have you ever seen the movie The Program?
Yeah.
That interception.
Where the guy goes around campus and carrying the football, and then like, they're in the class and they knock it out, and everybody in the class goes.
I gotta say, that interception to Eric Kendricks was really bad. That was just like. So infuriating to watch in the third quarter.
He's through in the trail.
Like, that's just like not a throw you should ever. It's weird. Yeah. Like, he's so conservative sometimes, but then occasionally he'll whip it into the most ridiculous spot for a pick. And I'm like, what? I don't understand.
Yeah. And this is the ups and downs of Jared Goff that they experienced in L.A. largely, too.
Okay, it brings us to the inevitable question, though. And Connor and I ran into him yesterday, and we asked ourselves this question. The question is simply, is Goff the long-term future of this team? Yes or no, period.
I think we both agree on this.
And if we're taking a vote here, I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no as well.
I'll also say no.
I'm going to say no. I was hoping he'd surprise us, you know, with a little anger at the Rams. Yeah. And like, but I do think he's good enough that we could get through another year with him.
I agree. We don't
have to draft a quarterback. I mean, if there's someone there, we should definitely.
The Lions should be 3-2 right now.
You're right.
I'm going to vote pending because I'm not ready. Why? We're only four games, right? Five games now. 5 games into the season.
Everybody tells me we're the best 0-5 team.
The old line's still falling apart.
We're better than the Jags.
I'm gonna wait to see how the season unfolds to give my opinion on Goff, but I mean, it's been up and down. He's shown so much of what he could be doing well, and he's shown why he's not the answer.
Hey, Run Dog, he was your preseason pick for league MVP. Is that still in play? Still a lot of football to play.
When we get to the playoffs, I feel confident he will be in contention.
Yeah. Consider it.
Could still do it.
When we go 12-5, you'll see. Yeah.
All right. Well.
I like it.
Yeah.
Without Cephas, though, is that going to happen?
To be fair to Goff, though, much like Stafford, he doesn't have a lot of tools around him to deal with. He does have a halfway decent running game.
Yes.
His line has been injured a lot, so a little rough. And his receiving core is really subpar. And so I got to give him a break there.
Get Tom Kennedy in there.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think any comparison to Stafford is actually not very fair. This kid, he's basically a kid. He's 26. Stafford did not look great when he was 26. I'm not saying he looked this bad or whatever, but it was exactly comparable. But he did not have the consistency that he does now as a really mature 30, in his early 30s, in the middle of his prime quarterback.
No.
Goff is still young. He's had some something went down in St. Louis or wherever they're at now, the Rams.
When Stafford was 24, he had 41 touchdowns.
Yeah. No, I just think it's incomparable.
Okay.
Stafford, from the game he beat the Browns when he got hurt,
Goff has a lot of stuff, too. Goff has some pretty impressive stats, too. But, I mean, I'm just saying he's still young and growing. Yeah. And he's in a new situation where there's not necessarily the best around him at the moment with tons of injuries, things falling apart around him. All I'm saying is I'm willing to give him some more time to see what he can do.
You're giving him excuses.
If he gets comfortable.
You're giving him excuses, Red.
I don't think people...
No, I'm evaluating. My evaluation window is still open.
Like they were for staff.
Why are you... I mean, you guys are deciding... You guys are arbitrarily ending... making your decision now. Why would you make a decision now when there's...
The question was if it was right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not declaring him dead forever. It's just how do you feel right now? That was the question.
That's the question.
Yeah.
And I just don't know yet. I can't give an answer.
Okay, fair enough.
Fair enough. Right,
there you go.
But that's not us declaring him dead, though. It's just
mostly dead.
At the moment.
There's a big difference.
There's a big difference.
Dead and mostly dead.
You know, it's funny how the season's winding going down now. Our defense was our worst thing coming in, and our offense was our best thing. And now it seems to be changing roles here as the season rolls on. Our defense is getting better and better, and our offense is getting worse and worse. I don't know. It's very strange.
Right. We haven't scored over 20 points since that week one comeback.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating.
Yeah.
If we did score 20 points, we'd probably win all three of those games.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, UJ, to that point, though, it's kind of encouraging because the defense weren't expecting much, and they're starting to gel and, like, believe in themselves. The offense, we have no receivers, really, to speak of, and our line is not healthy right now. The line gets healthy. If we get one of these receivers to step up or if we pick up somebody – It could get better.
Absolutely.
I think going forward, it could get a lot better when we draft like a decent receiver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Got up to the draft for a receiver for sure.
Speaking of, let's go into positive receiver really quick. Amon-Ra St. Brown looks good again for a second.
I like him.
He did look good.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Amon-Ra St. Brown and Cephas, if he can get back and be healthy, are a nice base. And I think. Like, you draft a nice number one next year, and you got a good core growing.
I like St. Brown as a good third receiver right now.
Yes.
I think you get on, like, a good team. I think you could be a 30 guy.
We need someone to take the pressure off of a Hawk, too, because, you know, we're it's costing us Hawkinson a little bit because it's so easy to take one guy out of a game, you know. I don't care how good you are.
If Calvin Johnson, yeah.
If you're the only one exception. They're worried about, they can take you out of a game pretty
quickly. Yeah.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, week 5 of football is in the books. And now it's time to review the tape and get ready with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week, DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet only $1 on any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now on your iPhone or Android and place a bet of $1 on any week game to receive $150 in free bets instantly. Its sportsbook is not yet available in your state. That's okay. DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Michigan has online gambling, all right? And it could go right to your phone. So Detroit Lions fans shouldn't have to worry. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code TPPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code TPPN. That's a T, two P's, and an N. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Do you know who?
Can we talk a little bit about Swift?
Do you know who our leading receiver is right now?
Khalif Raymond? Yeah. I don't know.
No, yeah, it's DeAndre Swift. DeAndre so, Swift.
Dad,
yeah.
You called it.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Dad, you called this at the beginning of the season, like in the summer. He was like, he's gonna have like 1,000 receptions and.
Oh, I thought he might have 100. Crazy, I thought he might have 100 for this year though.
You said like 400.
He's at 252 right now. Leads the team in targets and receptions. Yeah. So he looked good again today.
He looks good.
I think he's really growing in a role, and I think we got
that truck stick he put on.
At the end of the game,
that was dirty.
To get out of bounds.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, on that screen or on that reception. Oh my gosh, that was awesome.
That was fantastic.
He's a beast.
The Lions definitely, because a lot of people thought Swift coming out of that draft was the number one running back prospect, and then the Chiefs go and pick Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who does not look nearly as good as Swift. So the Lions, I'm glad that they ended up with him.
Yes.
Possibly
and Jonathan Taylor was the other guy in that draft. Yeah. Those are the big three.
Right.
All right. But he actually looks okay, but not as good as Swift.
Swift's starting to live up to the bill.
I can't wait
until
he comes
off
the questionable injury report every week.
I hope he stays there.
Stay there and then just keep getting on the field.
Oh, imagine how good he'll be when he's not questionable anymore.
As long as he's healthy,
And then Hawkinson.
I thought I saw Jamal Adams look good.
Jamal Williams, you mean?
Well, I said Adams. Yes,
our two running backs look phenomenal.
Absolutely,
they do. Yeah. They are.
I love Jamal Williams.
Better one too.
He's dancing on the sidelines before the games, and he just. Infectious energy. I like him.
Absolutely. Reminds me of Bill.
The dude is very
entertaining. Reminds me of Billy Sims a little bit. Bob, you can remember Billy Sims.
Oh, well,
he was one of those guys who just was always exuberant, pumping people up, yelling to the fans and stuff like that. He was awesome, man. And Jamal Williams reminds, not that he's as good a runner as Billy Sims was, but he, as far as the infectious personality and, you know, pumping people up and stuff, he reminds me of him a little bit.
Good. And I know we were hating on Sewell for his pass protection, rightfully so. Him and Nelson both rated at the bottom of the entire league in pass protection this week. But Sewell is also one of the best in run blocking this week. Right. So
hey,
and if you go look, like there's a I can't remember which play in the first half, like where he blocks the end defender and then gets up actually to second level too to get a linebacker. It was like a 10-yard run, I think, for us. It was sometime in the first half. I can't recall the exact moment.
Is that one where Jamal Williams just like keeps like seems like looks like he's gonna stop and then just keeps going up the middle like for like a nice like long run right up the gut? For the caravan of blockers. I don't know. That was a really good one, though.
But I am encouraged by the running game still this year. I just think it's been... I know I said it earlier, but it's been really consistent, and I just wish we could put the passing game and go along with it. Because it actually has looked fairly good. And that's what Anthony Lynn is known for, is kind of his running schemes.
You know, when you're a good line, when you've been dubbed a good line, I think it can be weird how substitutes will come in on a line that's been just recognized as a good unit. And even though the unit is mostly depleted, it's like even like one or two guys and three of them are substitutes, they'll all play at a higher level when they just recognize they're part of like an elite unit. And this, everyone so far has been kind of relatively stepping up to the call despite losing their fair share of battles too. But I mean, they're doing a respectable job, at least in the run game, of really, you know, showing up and having that next man up mentality on the O-line.
Right, for sure.
We haven't had I think that's got to be coaching.
Yeah, I mean, so far, do we all like what our coaching staff has done this year?
Yes.
I do. I know we're 0-5, but there's a lot of good things, I think.
I mean, some clock management and stuff aside, yeah.
Right.
What about rushing three late in the game?
Still got a problem.
Never!
Still got a problem with that.
Hey, guys. Was punting it on 4th-and-2, was that growth? Did we see growth in Dan Campbell at that point?
I didn't mind that call, yeah.
I think it's game to game, man.
No, I mean, like, it was just funny because even the announcers were like, I think that's Dan Campbell. He's growing up. He's been going for 4th-and-2, and it's been biting him
a
lot.
And
he punts it, and by punting it, it was actually probably the right call because it kept the game really tight all the way down and eventually did lead to us taking the lead. And if we had gone for it and failed like we've been doing for the most part, it would have obviously would have probably blown up in our faces. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it's growth. And then he goes and rushes only three. I'm like, all right, that's next week. We gotta do that one next week.
Yeah, I can't believe that Vikings kicker left that one short on the 49-yard attempt, but then makes a 54-yarder. that was kind of odd. I you don't really see an NFL kicker.
The power of the curse.
Short, like,
yes.
Yeah. Miss them short like that.
We wrote the book on losing, man. It was more creative ways to lose a game.
It's unbelievable.
No one does it like we did. Nobody.
Dan Campbell leads all Lions coaches in heartbreaking losses per season, I think, right now.
He's only in his first season, 5 games.
Yeah.
Wow.
If he's averaging 2 every 5 games, it's that's rough. That's
pretty good pace.
Yeah.
Rough pace.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Hey, but, yeah. All this losing, I know, but I'm still really weirdly encouraged by this team, and I'm excited about watching them and seeing them grow. These guys are so young, and they're really stepping up, and they're learning.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can see the learning curve on some of these guys, especially the defensive backs and some of these kids. I mean, wow. I mean, they're a blank slate right now. These coaches, I think, they're doing some good things with them. By the end of the season, I think we'll get what we were hoping for in the beginning, is that a team with an arrow pointing up, you know? And I think that's what we're really looking for here. And then we improve it next year with the draft and a couple more free agents. And hopefully this is a place where free agents will want to come, which I think it will. I think it will be, unlike the Patricia years where they were trying to avoid us at all costs. But
I think this season is the crucible. This season is the crucible. We're throwing all these young players in the fire now. We're going to get some good hardened steel at the end. And this is going to be the foundation we build on going on.
Absolutely true.
Next few years.
Well, the Lions are going to be hosting the Bengals next week, so I think that's an absolutely winnable game. The Bengals are a tougher team than they've been in the past few years.
Yeah, they almost beat the Packers.
But we'll get into that later this week, talking about that game. But I do think it is a winnable game for sure. But yeah, so the Lions now 2 games behind third place in the NFC North at 0-5. Green Bay goes to 4-1. The Bears beat the Raiders in Las Vegas, moved to 3-2, and Minnesota 2-3. So Lions got some work to do to get out of the cellar here.
And that was that was John Gruden's last game as a coach in the NFL.
That's right. Yeah, as we're recording this, John Gruden resigned/fired by the Raiders for the email scandal going on. So. I think, Connor, you mentioned that.
Urban Meyer's giving a little woot woot. He's happy the pressure's off him now.
Yeah, and that was a Raiders team that, you know, a lot of positive things going on this year in terms of them actually winning for once.
Yeah.
For that day.
They had some high highs and some low surprising. Lows. Losing to the Bears at home, though, is pretty rough, I would say.
Yeah.
Right.
Do they arrest him? Is he resigning because they finally figured out what he did in his previous life as a child's doll?
What?
Murdering all those people.
Oh, Chucky. He looks like Chucky. Is that what you're referencing?
Yeah.
You lost me there for a second, but Big Z explained it, so now I'm on board.
All right, gentlemen. As usual, there's always a good place to stop our conversation.
That's
and
it.
It's usually Red Dog bringing this.
Usually Red Dog saying something. Yeah.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Nonsense. Really.
He'll make a joke while I'll just be like, okay.
This is, oh, wow. Oh, boy. All right. Just gang up on me. I see how it is.
All right. Gentlemen, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, listeners, thank you for listening to the podcast. Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Please follow us on there. Comment what your thoughts are on this this era of Lions football. What's going on, Dan Campbell, the line, offense, defense, whatever you're feeling, just let us know. But then also subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Please download and please leave a review on there. We also greatly appreciate that as well. Otherwise, thank you to our producer, Kid DJ. Jay. And Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, enjoy the rest of your week. We'll be back later this week previewing the Lions hosting the Cincinnati Bengals to hopefully get that first victory of this 2021 season.
Oh, yeah.
And last but not least, as always,
go
Lions! Forward down the field. A charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and game.